I'm just gonna roll this tape.
So it is true then that the Korean veterans tried to take over the school government.
Not the Korean, the American
GIs, right, yes. They were veterans of the Korean War.
That's right.
Right.
And they got a GID.
Right.
So they went to school at the time. The rest, they worked.
And they wanted you to be president or vice president?
Yeah. No, they wanted me one important member of that group. I don't remember president or not.
That's funny.
Well, I told them at that time I was with the Vietnamese army and then the American later.
So this is
one of them who I work at the hospital as a nurse and been another one, Don Baker.
Don Baker?
Don Baker, friend of Bruce, not so Don Baker. He was at the GIBU and also the Consul General who has a crippled son going to send food there.
Interesting.
And he gave a haircut training to the students.
Now, Bruce Knott wanted me to ask you if you remember a guy by the name of Sarney, S-A-R-N-I.
Sarney.
Sarney.
Yeah.
Who was a military guy, about 27,
right.
28, always barking orders to people, you know?
Always.
Always barking orders. Order. He was very military.
That's right, Sarney. Military.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Mike Sarney.
Mike Sarney.
Yeah. And he's originally Italian, I guess.
Right. And you also remember the Samoan. You remember the Samoan?
Yeah, the Samoan is a very nice guy too. He was American citizen. He celebrated that at the college.
Okay.
And he became American.
Now, Ross Johnson told me, and Ross Johnson is the most famous of all these people. He became a very powerful member of the California Senate and the Assembly. He was the only Republican elected majority leader in both the House and in the Senate. And he's probably one of the most powerful men in all of California, and is now retired and living in Sacramento. He remembers you. He remembers living in the World War II barracks, the dorms.
That's right.
With you. He was in the same room. He told me the story that you told me that you found Henry Ledger,
right,
who tried to commit suicide, and later he thought that you felt bad that you had saved the life of someone who wanted to kill themselves. I said, I don't think that's exactly true.
No,
right,
no,
I told him, right.
True.
Yeah, not true, right. He wanted to know if you remembered someone by the name of Derek McQuinney, who was a photographer in the school newspaper. Derek, or Tad.
Mary?
Derek. He remembers your car, and he told me a funny story about your Mercury.
Yeah.
He told me a funny story. He said that you were the only person he ever met in his entire life who followed the instructions in the manual of the car, so you always went out and warmed your car up for 5 minutes before driving. No, Americans don't never warm their car up, but he said you always warm your car up.
That's right. Right.
You were the only one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I warm the car.
Yeah. He also recalls that you were a practical joker, and he said that he remembers that when you flush the toilet, the water would squirt up, and you'd like to get him sometimes wet. You may not remember this, but he remembers it. He said you had a good sense of humor.
All right.
You were a practical joker, you know?
Oh, I did.
He also said that when you left, you said to him, Ross, come and visit me in Vietnam. And when Ross said, well, I don't have your address, you said to him, when you get to Saigon, just ask for me. Don't worry. Pete Conaty has all the copies of the Barnacle. and he found lots of things about you. He wanted me to tell you that he served a career military, was wounded in Vietnam, but he harbors no grudge at all. That is, and that he wants to come and visit you and talk to you about the war, because he said to me that after he was wounded, he was stationed in Japan, and one of his jobs was to work with the Japanese military, and he said, we have reconciled with the Japanese military, why wouldn't I reconcile with the Vietnamese? And tell on, that's how I feel. So I let you know that. I remember sitting around the dorms talking to you, you know, all the time. He wanted me to let you know that he went into intelligence, military intelligence, so that OCC had two guys in the war working for both different sides in intelligence. And no one knew.
I thought no one come here. Because I'm waiting for them to come. No one comes.
He was on the bilateral American-Vietnam intelligence team. That was what he was on. Bilateral American-Vietnam intelligence team. He was in Hue and Phu Bai, Detachment 2.
Yeah, they called it the Vietnamese-American to go together.
Right. That was what he was on. And he was here during the Easter Offensive in 1972.
They call it sometimes the bat.
The what?
What they call it, cat. I mean, civilian action team. Civilian action team. Civilian action team. And after that, they call it bat. Platoon of action. Bat.
Platoon action team?
I mean, relation with the civilians. And not a civilian, that is like, to have them and this. The first one they call it CAT. C-A-D.
Right, civilian action team.
Civilian activity team. Or civilian affair, yeah, civilian affair team. The other one is the platoon affair team, something like that. People affair team.
People.
People affair team. You know why they changed it?
Why?
First they put cat, C-A-T, and the Vietnamese said, don't use that word. Cat means peanut in Vietnamese. You got to change that word. So that's why they put it fat. People affair team.
I didn't know that.
Exactly like you have the fresh American car, Nova. You couldn't sell in South America. So Nova, you know, the brand of the Porsche company.
Yes. Nova. Nova.
Nova doesn't go. So how can you sell it?
Okay.
Maybe he worked with a bat or the cat.
I'll ask him. He wants me to email him tonight after I see you. So I have his email. I'm going to email him from my hotel.
Tell him to come here because we are still friends anyway.
Oh, he wants to see you.
I'm very weak, even and strong and ready when they are, you know, I have no friction.
Now, you told me you got an email from Win Tai?
Yes, I said that email from Win Tai.
Rufus told him, Rufus and him are friends.
Okay.
So Rufus recommended that...
He showed me the picture, like Win Tai and one of them Benson, do you remember?
Yes.
When he was very young, he was 23 years old. And then with Lieutenant, or maybe Lieutenant Sharp.
Yes. So is it okay with you that I talk to Win Tai? Is it okay with you that I talk to Win Tai? Because Win Tai doesn't want to talk to me unless you say it's okay. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because very complicated. Many things.
Yeah, I don't know why.
The reason is because I know most of many things. Particularly his connection with Kobe, etc.
Now, when did I hire you to work in Vietnam Press, right?
That's right. Actually, he was not allowed because of the competition between the information and then the entire director of Vietnam Press. Yeah. The other one, he his power not to allow to open the school of journalism at Vietnam Press. Meantime, the Asia Foundation won the Vietnam Press and left to teach Vietnamese journalism. That's why they asked me to return immediately to set up a school with them.
So,
because Dr. Sien, he sent many of his men to work as spies for Dr. Sien, told Vietnam Press to use Vietnam Press as a cover. No one else sent me there to go along with these people. So, he doesn't like Vietnam either. He doesn't like Vietnam either. But he has respect for them, so he agreed to help me. Also, I was introduced to him before I went to U.S. by his father. In case if I couldn't go to U.S., he would accept me as a journalist in the press anyway.
And then Ty got mixed up with Zian. He was working for Zian, right? Ty was with
people. He was one of the 10 Vietnamese brought back by Zian,
right,
from the U.S. He was one of the 10 sent to the U.S. in 1950 by Cunningham.
He went to the U.S. in 1950?
Yeah, because they planned that when he returned, 54, 55, and these people already got the MBA degree. So he was too young. They asked him whether he could have been used to it. He said, no, that's it. Because they have a smaller job. And then so then he returned to the head of the Vietnam Press.
But then,
not, they would make him minister. He could make anyone like.
But then he had a falling out, right? His wife and
That's right. That's why he wrote a book. When he got three men to call it in, he wrote a book, Is South Vietnam Viable?
I didn't know that. He wrote a book. It's published in the United States?
Yes. I had it here before. It's up like here. That's why Mr. He saw that book together with the book by the British intelligence, the Navy intelligence.
Yes.
And right here, still there.
You never found my definition of this book. Yeah.
I didn't have, and I told you, I'm tired. I couldn't put it back either.
I don't want you to do anything except talk to
that's
me. That's fine.
That's the problem.
You just talk. Yeah, so I will talk to Nguyen Thai. He lives in California, near me.
He's working in some other place, too.
He sounds like he's a very successful businessman now.
Yeah, oh, he's always successful.
And
his organization, Safe Honda. Honda company was almost bankrupt.
Oh, really?
And he set up in Saigon the IBA, in the National Business Administration. And then, he persuaded American to buy, to allow the GI to buy Honda, bikes without tax, etc.
When did he leave Vietnam for good? He comes back now, I know all the time, because he sees you. But
no, he left Vietnam after the fall of him, and then he returned to become businessman.
But he returned after 1975,
after 1964.
But did he stay when? Did
he stay here all the time until he was. He was.
What happened after 1975? Did he get in any trouble or anything?
1975? No. He was not in Vietnam.
Okay. Right. He got out. Yeah.
He out already.
But now he can come back, no problem.
No problem. First, they refused, but after that, they never found out.
So I will go. Rufus really thinks it would help me to speak to him. So
he's the man who took the copy of Mr. Francis, Mr. Bill, Mr. Charlie Penn.
Yes.
And I know one trying to persuade the government to do it. I did it. But they didn't listen to me until the end. I talked to the Vietnamese ambassador to invite him here, and then he came with the other people. And the man died already. He just died a few years ago. That's very bad.
Yeah, you talked to him.
And the friend of he recruited him because he mentioned his book. I recruited. That word makes the North Vietnamese unhappy. Funny word only. But actually he did it.
By the way, Judd, and I don't have to ask for that. By the way, thank you for spending time with my research assistant, T.T. Mary Tran.
Mm-hmm.
My student, my research assistant, the young lady, Titi.
She's very intelligent.
Thank you.
Very intelligent.
She's my, you know, my research assistant. I'm like
she's
you.
She's very intelligent.
She was so happy to meet you, and I'm like you. I'm always protected by young women, you know. So she's very smart. Yes.
Very smart. Very intelligent. Rarely you come up with a young girl like this. And she talked like a very mature, old people.
You should get your son to meet her.
She's too young. She's only 26.
I know.
And then another story. I told her, you better tell Mr. Larry Berman to read, if possible, the French book by Goyot about the first Indochina War Geneva Conference. Everything come out of that one.
And who wrote this book?
French.
De Vallière?
François Goyot.
Okay.
Translated into Vietnamese too. But they did not use all the other to read it. So I had a copy in Vietnamese only. But the one in French really good. They finished publishing it when the Chinese attacked North Vietnam. They started. But they finished the book in 76 after the fall of Taiwan.
This is not, she told me you showed her something which you wouldn't let her see.
Well, I have played that in case.
Is it the 1981 document? No, she said that you had a document.
Yeah, that's
well, that's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I saw
her. No, she explained that to me. She did. Okay.
To buy the center.
That's a Texas Tech.
The relation between Chinese and Vietnamese during the Indochina War, 1954, Geneva Conference.
And this was released in 1981, is that
fair? It was sold in 79.
Okay, 79.
When the Chinese attacked North Vietnam, February.
Okay.
Very important book, if you don't read it, you never know. And another book you should read in order to know the story is the father-in-law of Is that President Key?
Is what?
Is that President Key?
President Key, father-in-law?
Father-in-law.
I don't know. Yes, well.
He was sent to me by this gentleman.
I never seen. Oh, Joseph Buttinger.
You know Joe Buttinger?
Yeah.
He was a tough guy. He's a good friend of mine. He and I, we work together all the time. We work for ABC. He's a relative of another person. He's an investigative correspondent or something like that. He came to Saigon to see me in order to write another book. And he showed me two pictures. This picture was taken at the Green Run.
That's a good picture.
When I was sick already.
Well, that's a nice picture. Who took it? He took it?
He did it. He came here.
That's a nice picture.
I was very sick, trying to see him at the Green Run. And this one is the girl concerned. Very intelligent guy.
That picture was taken in December of 2005?
Yeah, yeah.
And you look okay. I'm going to write him a letter.
He was a writer, and he knows everything here. Because he's the man who worked first for Mr. The head of NBC is Saigon, who died later. His name is
Can I make a copy of that picture? No, that picture? You know, I make a copy and I bring it back. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now this book I want to, I don't know this book, so Joseph Buttinger.
Very good book. If you don't read that one, then you miss a lot of
it. I'll call my wife.
One of the main supporters of the regime. He and Leo Chen and O'Donnell and then Sun Fender, American friend of Vietnam.
And this book is important to read because it, why? Because it's a story of...
He predicted that.
Predicted what would happen?
That means the policy of pushing the people into the hand of the communists. And he noticed it right at the beginning, when he found it too late enough.
And you always believed, I put this in my book, you always believed that if Lansdale had stayed around, Lansdale was the only one who could have controlled the M. Is that true?
That's right.
You believe that?
I believe that.
Okay.
Because he made the M.
He made the M, yeah.
You know who wrote a story, who wrote a report asking President Eisenhower to get rid of the M?
Lawton Collins.
Yeah.
I have it with me.
Yeah.
I found it. After you remember, you couldn't find it on your bed. I found it, so I got it.
Yeah.
And you reported that to the jungle.
To the jungle.
You told me that.
Yes. Because I learned it from the French.
Right.
A friend that had a very beautiful lady.
Oh, you learned it from the French. I thought you learned it from MacVie or somebody. Oh, I thought you just
no,
learned it.
I learned it from the French.
Oh, okay.
The French, the Vietnamese working for the French. And then these people, they get one girl sleeping with Colin.
Was sleeping with Lou Conin?
She worked for the French too.
Yeah.
She bought the wet, French wet, the beautiful.
And she slept with Lou Conin. And Conin?
No. Oh. Lawton Conin.
Oh, Lawton Collins, okay.
And she could sway him, and then she reasoned about that, and a lot of them couldn't work through. And that's why he sent a letter, and that letter was reported by the CIA, written by Sherman Kent. CIA Chester released it after 50 years.
Now, I brought it with me. I actually have it here because I was going to ask you a question about it. I'll find it in a few minutes. So, let me understand this, which is that we know in 1955, Lawton Collins told Eisenhower, ZM's got to go.
Yeah, the reason
he's incompetent, he's corrupt, and he...
No, he didn't have the base.
No base.
Nobody, and then very cool. He talked to him, he knew it.
So, you found out about it, which you had told me already, from the French, because they had a woman who had slept with Collins, and Collins told her that, and she was G2. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. But it wasn't the girl who told you, it was someone
No,
else.
No. Yeah. I couldn't touch that girl, it's so intermediary.
So when someone tells you that, they're telling it to you as a... When the French G2 are telling it to you, they're telling it to you because I think you're an American journalist, right?
What?
What was your job at the time?
I was a G5.
You were a G5 at the time. Okay.
And then propaganda.
All right.
And then Bruce Russell is
So G...
Philip is I was 27 years old. And then I wrote for Philip, 25. He's 2 years younger than I.
Okay.
So we met in November 54.
Okay. So now the other thing I want to go back, the French book that you want me to read on China and Vietnam that was released after Vietnam, after China attacked Vietnam, this is a document or is it a book?
The document, the research, wrote by the French, published by the French, named François Rayot.
Okay.
François Rayot. I mentioned that to the lady, Vietnamese lady about that. And I expect that they had a copy at the center.
All right.
Because it was published in Hanoi.
But it's only in
Vietnamese.
Only in Vietnamese and French, not in English.
No, not French. French, published in France.
Okay, so it's only published in Vietnamese.
Published in Vietnamese.
Not English.
In French, yes. You can buy the French copy.
Right, but not English copy, only French
not
copy. Only the French copy.
Only French copy.
Right, yes. Okay. And the importance of this is to show me China attitudes towards Vietnam in 1954.
Exactly, balkanization of Indochina.
The balkanization.
Exactly, the world that Kissinger told to you. And he was so mad about that. And he went to the Senate assembly telling that Kissinger trying to fool him by saying that the Americans were going to balkanize Indochina. Actually, the Chinese already agreed to have four countries in Indochina in 1954. One, the North Vietnamese, very small country, under their control as a buffer zone. South Vietnam, a new government. He did invite before when the Geneva Agreement ended, celebrate that, he invited the representative of the Chinese to that dinner, the Prime Minister of Phan Van of North Vietnam, Prime Minister of the representative of Sihanouk of Cambodia, Japan, and then Tan Nikon, representative of Laos, and then Ngo Đình Diem, young brother of Ngo Đình Diem.
Okay.
And he invited Ngo Đình Diem to go to Peking. And Ngo Đình Diem asked him,
wow, all right, okay.
And then Phan Van Dong of North Vietnam sitting together with him.
Okay.
You see that?
Now I do, yes. Okay.
And this one to tell you why South Vietnam collapsed. He's a man who supported Vietnam more than anyone. First political history of Vietnam written by the Americans is this one.
I've read other books by Buttinger, but not this one, so...
This one is very important.
Okay.
You will like, and another one who just brought Melvin Laird recently.
Yes, I read that. Yeah.
Read that one. He lied.
Melvin Laird?
Yes.
Yeah. He mentioned that. He mentioned to Theo Van Laer. He said the North Vietnamese refused to talk to set up the coalition government. Actually, Theo refused to do it.
Right.
Here, he mentioned also why Theo agreed to not to do it. Exactly. Inevitable collapse.
I will read this.
Oh, it's very important.
Within a week, I'll read the book. Yeah, yeah. I order it tonight. Yeah.
Not many people read it. One.
No. No.
Because the reason is we talk about that, about the war, etc.
Oh, yes.
And then that's why Joe Wilson found that interesting. That's why he sent me the copy. He's one of the hot under him. He, O'Donnell, and Lansdale, and then Leo Chen, and he's Australian. He was a socialist first. He's the father-in-law of E.B.Z. Brzezinski.
What?
That's good.
I didn't know that. Okay. Have you seen Key since he comes back here ever?
We did see him together by surprise at a lunch.
Oh, you did?
At the bench, yeah. Just joking.
So he didn't try to kill you then, huh?
No.
That's what he said he was going to do, remember?
That's when you were mad.
Jolin wants me to... Jolin Dorano, you're a friend. She wants me to communicate with Thankful. Remember Thankful?
Yeah.
Right? I understand you and her were close friends, right?
Yeah, very close friends. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm going to see Frankie Fitzgerald in New York City. I will see her when I go back. And Laura, and Laura Palmer, both of them. So,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Laura Palmer, a very good friend of Jolin Dorano.
Really?
Yeah, they came to office, so to Yvonne and everybody.
I didn't know that. Okay, so Frank McCullough told me to ask you a question. Frank, in the letter, Frank tells you, or you told Frank, you saved Time magazine many times from publishing an embarrassing story or something that was not true or would be embarrassing to Time magazine.
Yeah.
Could you give me some examples of that?
They set up a cat. Well, the mail that I was very unhappy to see that most of the press wrong story. It was anti-war. They set up a cat. Threat to set up and invite the press to go there.
To see the VC.
Huh? They said it was a VC briefing, important conference.
Who set the trap? Who was it? Mac V or?
I don't know.
Okay.
I know the trap. I cannot put the trap because I have no proof. But some people told me that this was the CIA trap anyway, Mac V trap. But to trap American journalists.
Going to a VC briefing.
Yeah, briefing.
In the jungle.
In the jungle. Because at that time there was a conflict between the VC and North Vietnamese. Everybody didn't know about that.
What year would this be about?
It was when Mr. Stanley Clark was here. Now, after the bombing of North Vietnam. Bombing of North Vietnam. The re-bombing under Nixon.
So it would be 1972?
That's right.
So there was
and then they invited the press, the Chinese, Vietnamese, the Japanese, the French, the English, the Observer, and then Time magazine, etc. But I know that was the trap was set up by one intelligence officer, and you have to be very careful in case you are invited by the representative of VC to around the jungle or some people in the desert, check with us to make sure that it was true. It was not true. It was our trap. We set up a trap in this a few months to trap these damn journalists who wrote wrong things against the U.S. troops in Vietnam. Yeah, they are very, they are not pro-communist, but they are very anti-war. They are very, very stupid. We were in a trap to see how wrong they were in order to smear their name, etc. So, and then every day we invited, I was invited too. And then when I checked with my sources, oh, it's a very important briefing. This is the coup d'etat in the jungle, this zone here. Yes, between the Communist Liberation Front, the VC, and the North Vietnamese troops to fight for power in the jungle. And at the end, it was the VC who won, and the North Vietnamese lost. So that's the whole idea of briefing. So, and then Mr. Stanley Clow, Bureau Chief, he asked me to go. I said, I couldn't go. But I'm busy here. And then so we got send Lehman there. Lehman, he just take picture. He got the briefing in Vietnamese and then threw in top of us. And Tan Ban Lop was the organizer. So, and then it started all right. And then when Lehman went with the other people, the briefing was so wonderful. Clear detail of the fighting, etc. For 2 days in the jungle. And at the end, the North Vietnamese were defeated, and then they made a compromise. They couldn't take over the South Vietnam at that time because of conflict.
Right.
That's why I showed you the story about the conflict here.
Yes.
And Mr. Lenin went there. He reported to Mr. Stanley Clark, Bureau Chief, yes, about important briefing. I said, all right, you better go and debrief on. And then he called me in and said, all right, you debrief on Lehman and wrote me a summary of the first conference in the jungle, coup d'etat among in the jungle. I said, all right, I will do it. So I know it was phony already. I didn't do it. And the following day, it was published. Jean Claude Pauvreté jumped into the cab. Unfortunately, a very young journalist, one of the 7 best journalists of Le Monde.
Of Le Monde, that's right.
Yeah, he jumped into the cab. He thought it was true story. He didn't check with me, too. If he checked with me, he would have let go. And then he would like to have a competition and a scoop or something like that. And the second story is the American Wisma. They planted the story that after the bombing of Hanoi, many members of the Politburo were killed. And there was a meeting in Hanoi between the Communist Politburo for arrangements for the new one, etc. And then it was published and then informed the lower echelon, high echelon, but a lower level, about that secretly. But the Americans, they have key to the message. You know, the message sent by telecommunication through satellite.
Okay, yeah.
To the south, etc. But the American had a key. And they planned that story, and then the FBI didn't know about that. The FBI monitored that. When anything they monitor about the communist activity or briefing, etc., they let the press read it. AP got the story and then published it about that fighting in the jungle in Hong Kong or Japan or someplace. So it's coincided together. And then Mr. Clow, very bad the following day, he saw on the, not the teletype, but the, how do you call it, the automatic call it that time. APUBI, Reuters.
Telex or something?
No,
like
no,
that,
no, Telex. The 24 hour, over 24
okay,
hours.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what it's called, yeah.
And then it comes, the story comes
out.
And it's tall, very short to him. He come in and said, and he smoked a pipe. He sit like this, and he's still on. I go back and tell him. I told you to tell him and to brief you, debrief you, and make me about you look at it. Okay. I was checking, sick. You sick all the time. I was not sure. How can the communists fight in the jungle, not too far from Saigon? And then they use the mortar and everything. But the American G2 didn't know about that. The American CIA didn't know about that. They have the U2 flying 20 kilometers, 10 kilometers up air. They get all the information from the ground. But why they didn't they? Why don't you call the embassy to check whether it's true or not? And he called the embassy to check about that. The embassy is very smart. He said they didn't know, they have no command about that. They're not sure, they don't. They did not deny, they didn't, have to command about that. So he smelled that bloody wrong. If not, we jumped into that chap.
Yeah. Okay.
And another one too, you know, because of competition. About the breakthrough of Paris between Mr.
Arnaud de Bourgeois.
And he charged me in front of the Congress that the communists infiltrated all the American press. Sure, there were many. Those who worked for the AP, who worked for Washington Post. Well, for many actors, that's true.
I need to tell you something.
That's it true.
I went to the United States Congress last month, and I read the hearings. Every word. Senator Jeremiah Denton held the hearings.
Oh,
Senator. Former POW, Jeremiah Denton. But where they investigated you, they could find nothing.
That's right.
Not a single example where you planted a false story. Not one. And this is in my book, that I went and I looked at his hearings, and I read Arnold de Borschkov's testimony, and they accuse you of being a minister of disinformation. That's false. Totally false. Well, that's why I'm writing the book.
I refuse to.
Right.
Because these people, they are spy enough. And
there are people who do it. Yeah.
And only one not involved with political intelligence.
Right.
If I'm involved with political intelligence, I have to do it. But I'm an analyst, that's different.
Right, that's how I write about you. You're an analyst. And let me turn my tape over.